Matthew 21, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think about this story associated with Palm Sunday, we pray that you will open our eyes to fresh truth through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you weren't here, where would you rather be right now? I know where I would rather be. I would rather be on the Mount of Olives and just near the little village of Bethphage, where there is a little church commemorating Jesus getting on the donkey and riding into Jerusalem. I always associate that church with a one-legged man, because years ago there used to be a one-legged man who was the gatekeeper. But I also associate it with chalk ices, because again, some time ago, almost 20 yards away or so from the church gate, there used to be a little shop selling the most wonderful chalk ices. Now, if you've not been to the Mount of Olives, you may think it's something like Everest. Well, it isn't. It's about the same height, I suppose, as Reigate Hill. And so I think we might follow Jesus' procession down Reigate Hill rather than trying to visualize the Mount of Olives. So let's go to the roundabout up on the top of Reigate Hill, just over the motorway. It's good that we can get there, because there are some problems on the top of the Mount of Olives, because the Israelis are rather fond of building walls. And there is a wall which now separates Bethphage from Bethany. You can't get through it at that point. So Jesus arranges for the donkey, and he then gets on it and begins to ride down the track. So he's coming down the A217, but it's a track, not a major road, and it's quite steep. And with him are a crowd of Galileans, people who've almost certainly come to Jerusalem from Galilee with him, because it's Passover time. And they spread out on the road a red carpet, except that it's not red, it's green, because it's made of branches, palm branches, according to John's Gospel. And as they come down the hill, they're all singing and shouting and praising God and acknowledging Jesus to be the Messiah King. And of course, as they're coming down the hill, they get a wonderful view over Reigate. They get a view over Jerusalem, the city, and its temple. And finally, when they get to the bottom, they pass through the Garden of Gethsemane and make their way into the temple, which would be, I suppose, the equivalent of crossing over by the level crossing and then going down to the tunnel. And eventually they are in the city with Jesus. And the crowds, a lot of people are asking, who is this? And they give the answer, this is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Well, it's a wonderful occasion, and I'm sure you can see it in your mind's eye, even though I've probably confused you completely by comparing it with Reigate Hill. It was, of course, a planned spectacle. It was a demonstration, and Jesus knew what he was doing. And he does this demonstration in front of what you might call his fan club, because they will be his friends and others who've known him in Galilee who are in the crowd. And there is a lot of excitement and enthusiasm. It's not really like a Church of England congregation. It's like, well, it's Middle East, you see. So there's a lot of shouting and singing and praising and everyone having a good time, for those who have a good time in that sort of way. But it is a demonstration. And this crowd are full of what you might call nationalistic fervor. Because Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, is, they believe, their Messiah and their king. And he's going to do something wonderful for them, but they're not quite sure what it is. At this stage, what they're hoping is that he will lead some kind of army against the Romans who rule the land. But of course, as we know, Jesus is not a military conqueror. He's not riding a horse, he's riding a donkey. He's a man of peace. So he is the King of Glory and he is the King of Israel and he is arriving at his city in triumph, but on a donkey and in peace. And what he's doing is throwing down a gauntlet. Because two other significant events are taking place at the same time as that demonstration. First of all, Pontius Pilate is coming into Jerusalem from the west, from the other direction. Jesus comes down the Mount of Olives from the east, but Pilate is coming in from the west because he's been staying in a city on the coast, or the Mediterranean coast, called Caesarea. And the other thing that's happening is that all the Jewish authorities, the priests and everyone associated with the temple, are getting ready for Passover, which will be at the end of the week and is a great annual occasion. So let's think about Pontius Pilate for a moment. He's coming in surrounded by troops, Roman soldiers, and their garrison will be right in Jerusalem and right next door to the temple in a place called the Antonia Fortress. And he's coming in the name of the Emperor of Rome, the Roman Emperor, who's Tiberius, and who is known as the Son of God. And he's coming to keep peace at Passover time, but he won't necessarily do it in a peaceful way, because he has a bit of a reputation for brutality. And during Passover, there's going to be a great need for someone to keep the peace, because probably something like 250,000 pilgrims will be in Jerusalem. And of course, it's not quite as big then as it is today. So that's Pontius Pilate coming in. The priests are busy in the temple, and they're also getting ready for the crowds, and they're also having to deal with 180,000 lambs which are going to be sacrificed for Passover. Just imagine all that many lambs in the temple area. And there's a lot of tension in the city because the presence of the Romans gets people very annoyed. And there's religious fervor. People are looking forward to their Messiah. And it's politically volatile, and there is a great need for what we might call security. And Jesus comes down from the Mount of Olives, making a small but spectacular entry from the east. And he is saying, through that demonstration, he's saying, I am Israel's true king. Not the Roman emperor, he's not. I am, he's saying. And he's therefore taking on the Roman overlords. And the crowd is delighted, of course they are. But he's also saying, I am Israel's Messiah. Which means that Judaism, the Jewish religion, is due for a complete change because their Messiah, for whom they've been looking forward for so many years, has come. And it's going to be the end of what they're used to in terms of religion. So Jesus is saying, the revolution is starting. It's the end of the old age of people like Pontius Pilate and all those priests, and the beginning of the new age, the age of the Messiah. Now, we don't often think of Jesus as a revolutionary. A revolution, of course, is the forcible overthrow of a government or of a social order. And it leads to radical change. I think of, say, 100 years ago, there was the Russian Revolution in 1917. And revolutions, as we understand it, are very often associated with violence, the violent overthrow of a regime, and, of course, bloodshed. But Jesus is coming as a different sort of revolutionary. He's a revolutionary against the political power of the Roman Empire, but he's also revolutionary against the religious power of the priesthood. So he's bringing in a new kind of revolution. It's a peaceful one and it's not violent. And it's about the transforming of lives, because what Christianity is about is transformed lives causing a transformed society. Not, as so often with revolutions, the belief that a transformed society will transform people's lives. It's the other way around. It's a different sort of revolution. Now, we've all got a palm cross. There's the one up here on the stand. What are we going to do with it? Well, we could say it would make a very nice decoration on the mantelpiece. And I wouldn't be too surprised if there are people here who will take it home and stick it on the mantelpiece. But supposing we thought of this in a very different way. Supposing we said, this isn't a decoration, this is a badge. This is a badge of that revolutionary Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we would then have to say, if I am taking this badge, what sort of a revolutionary am I? If I am following Jesus, the supreme revolutionary, what's my lifestyle like? Is my lifestyle revolutionary? We had the prayer book service of communion at 9 o'clock this morning, and in it, if you've never been to it, there is a prayer, quite a long one, and it's called the prayer for the church militant here on earth. Now, that means we're an army, church militant, fighting. Not, of course, causing bloodshed, far from it. That's not what the church is all about. The church is all about a peaceful revolution in society. And what we have to be aware of is that if we're going to follow Jesus the revolutionary in his peaceful revolution, we've got to be prepared for Good Friday. Because Palm Sunday will come to an end pretty soon. And then Jesus, just a few days later, will be going to Calvary. And if we're revolutionaries alongside him, we'll be going there too. Now, I have to say to you, and I don't like that expression, having to say, but I have got to say it, that as I prepared for this morning, I came at this point to a dead end. Because I thought to myself, in the presence of God, what sort of a revolutionary am I? How is my lifestyle revolutionary? I may be a man of peace, I may be against violence, but what does it mean to be in Jesus' revolution today. And so I'm looking at you, comrades, and wondering what you think is the nature of the revolution that this church is involved in, because I don't know. What I do know is that if I'm going to follow Jesus of Nazareth, I'm going to be involved in a revolution. It will be a bloodless one, but it will be a radical one. But what the implications are, well, you tell me. You tell me, please. Tell me at the door afterwards. I need to know. I want to know what it means to be part of Jesus' revolution here on earth in this country in 2017. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to praise and thank you that you went all the way to Calvary for us. And it wasn't easy. And you could have withdrawn. You could have said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go on with this revolution. I'm going to take the easy way. But you didn't, Lord. And for that we are eternally grateful, because it was through your death that we have salvation and eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins and the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, here we are, and we want to follow in your steps, to take up our cross daily to follow you. And Lord, we don't quite know what it involves. So will you please help us? Help us to understand through your Spirit and through your word what you require of us as a church militant here in Reigate. And we pray all this because we want to see Jesus glorified and honored, and for his sake. Amen.